Imagine looking at a static photograph of a graph, just pixels on a screen showing these squiggly lines.
Right.
And suddenly, by simply running a piece of software over that image, you hear the exact frantic, dying words of a pilot screaming in a cockpit.
It sounds totally impossible.
It really does. I mean, it sounds like a pitch for a dystopian sci-fi movie, but as of this week, that is our actual reality.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
It is. So welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. We are here to basically cut through the absolute noise of Saturday, May 23, 2026.
And there is a lot of noise today.
So much noise. We're going to unpack a stack of sources that are honestly actively rewriting the rules of the internet, human community, and even physical reality itself.
Definitely.
Today, we're looking at tech giants who are just actively dismantling the open web, some mystery hardware dropping from both Apple and Google, and a deeply unsettling crisis at the NTSB involving, well, the digital resurrection of the dead.
Yeah, when you lay out the stack of sources we have for today, a very
Yeah.
stark narrative emerges,
Oh, totally.
Like, we are no longer inching toward an AI-integrated future. We have been just violently shoved into an AI-first world.
Yeah, ready or not.
Right. And what becomes glaringly obvious from these reports is that this rapid transition is breaking our foundational digital systems, significantly faster than we can build the guardrails to manage them.
Yeah, which is terrifying. So let's start with like the biggest foundational system we have, right? How we find information.
Search.
Exactly. For 25 years, that mechanism has been incredibly stable. You type a query, you get 10 blue links, you click one.
A classic exchange.
Right. But yesterday, May 22, Steven Levy published a piece in Wired covering an announcement from Liz Reed, who is the head of Google Search, and her statement was pretty definitive.
Yes, she didn't mince words.
No, she didn't. Quote, Google search is AI search.
Wow.
Those 10 blue links are functionally dead. I mean, they've been shoved to the very bottom of the page beneath this massive AI-generated summary that just answers your question directly.
Which is huge. I mean, this represents a total architectural collapse of the economic model of the internet.
Yeah, explain that for a second.
Well, the entire web was built on a very specific value exchange, right? A creator spends time researching and writing an article. Google indexes it.
Right, and then I search for it.
Exactly. A user searches for the topic, clicks the link, and views the ads on the creator's site. That ad revenue is what incentivizes the creator to write more.
Makes sense.
But when Google's AI reads that article and simply provides the user with a synthesized answer right on the search results page, that value exchange is completely severed.
They just bypass the creator entirely.
Right. The user gets their answer instantly, which, is highly convenient, but the creator gets zero traffic and zero revenue.
It's basically an economic Ouroboros. I mean, Google is essentially strip mining the internet.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
They're eating the very ecosystem they rely on to train their AI models. Like, Levy refers to original web content as the seed corn for these algorithms.
Right.
So if the AI starves the creators of revenue, the creators just stop making new content. And
Yeah.
if there's no new content, the AI has no fresh seed corn to learn from.
It just cannibalizes itself.
Exactly. The model inevitably stagnates. But the convenience factor is so overwhelming that even users who claim to, like, hate AI are going to default to reading those instant summaries.
Well, yeah, but that convenience comes with a massive, glaring vulnerability, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Google is restructuring the gateway to the world's information around a technology that fundamentally does not understand what it is doing.
Yeah.
And we saw this play out catastrophically on May 22 with what the engineering community is now calling the disregard bug.
The disregard bug. Okay, let's unpack this because this bug is the perfect illustration of that vulnerability.
It really is.
So users were going to Google to search for the definitions of action words, terms like ignore, dismiss, or disregard.
Just basic vocabulary queries.
Right. But instead of pulling up a dictionary definition or a linguistic history of the word, the AI completely lost its meta-awareness.
If it forgot it was a search engine.
Exactly. It responded like a subservient chatbot receiving a direct command. It was generating responses like, got it. If you need anything else or have a new question later, just let me know.
Which is just bizarre to see on a search page.
It's like hiring a brilliant research assistant who accidentally thinks they are your personal therapist.
Yeah. What's fascinating here is the underlying mechanism failing in real time. It's an issue of context disambiguation.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
Well, large language models don't read words like you or I do. They process tokens based on statistical probabilities and attention weights.
Right, it's all math.
Exactly. So when the system was fed the token for disregard, the attention mechanism weighed the system's instruction tuning, meaning the programming that tells it to be a helpful, obedient chatbot heavier than its information retrieval programming.
Oh, wow.
It literally could not distinguish between a user asking a semantic question about a word and a user issuing an operational command.
I mean, the system essentially acts like a waiter who is so hyper-focused on fulfilling your every request that when you casually ask, hey, what does the word cancel mean? The waiter instantly shreds your credit card and cancels your dinner reservation.
That is exactly what's happening.
It's completely literal and entirely oblivious to context, and that makes me question this entire rollout, honestly. If Google's flagship AI cannot even disambiguate a simple vocabulary query from a command, why on earth are we trusting it to synthesize complex medical symptoms or aggregate legal advice without hallucinating wildly?
Well, the short answer is we shouldn't. But you have to understand, Google's actions here aren't driven by product readiness.
No.
No, they're driven by existential panic.
Right. OpenAI.
Exactly. The pressure from OpenAI's ChatGPT and Microsoft's Bing integration is immense. Google is being forced to ship half-baked infrastructure to defend its market dominance. And in the process, they're gambling their most valuable asset, which is user trust.
Which is crazy. So, okay, if the open web is crumbling because AI is intercepting the traffic, and that same AI is fundamentally glitchy and unreliable, humans are going to look for an escape hatch.
They always do.
And we've already seen this happening, right? People have been appending the word Reddit to the end of their Google searches for years just to bypass algorithmic SEO garbage and find actual, authentic human conversations.
Yep, it's a known workaround.
Well, Meta has obviously been watching this migration, and they just made a remarkably aggressive move to intercept it.
They really did.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Meta executed a completely silent launch in the iPhone App Store.
No press release, nothing.
No keynote presentation, no warning. They just dropped a standalone application called Forum. It was first flagged by social media consultant Matt Navarra, and it fundamentally re-architects Facebook groups into a Reddit competitor.
Okay, I have to say, I don't get Meta's play here at all. Facebook Groups already has, what, 1.8 billion monthly active users?
Yeah, about that.
It is arguably the most successful product they have left. Why risk cannibalizing their own core engagement by building a totally separate app that strips away the main newsfeed?
Because the nature of the feed is dying.
Really?
Yeah. Meta recognizes that user behavior is shifting away from the broadcast model, where you post your photos to everyone you know, toward niche, interest-based communities.
Ah, I see.
Forum takes those 1.8 billion users and shifts them from a social graph to an interest graph. It offers dedicated group feeds and powerful discovery tools, but crucially, it introduces anonymous usernames.
Okay, but those usernames are only conditionally anonymous. I mean, the admins of those groups can still see your real identity, right?
Right, because it's still tied to your Facebook account.
Which feels like a fundamental misunderstanding of why Reddit works in the first place. Reddit's culture thrives specifically because it is pseudonymous. You can ask an embarrassing medical question or give brutal career advice because it isn't tied to your real-world identity. Meta is trying to clone the aesthetic of Reddit while still shackling you to your real-life Facebook profile.
And that tension is exactly why they launched this silently. It's a guerrilla warfare tactic.
Sneaking it out the back door?
Pretty much. Meta is bleeding highly engaged users to platforms that offer less algorithmic manipulation and stronger, more authentic culture. But a massive, heavily promoted launch of a Reddit clone that ultimately fails. Wow. That would be a PR disaster.
Yeah, they want to avoid that.
They are tiptoeing into this space to avoid building another Google Plus graveyard. The financial stakes are just massive. Yeah. Look at Reddit's Q1 2026 earnings. They pulled in $625 million in ad revenue.
Wow.
Wall Street views Reddit's public discourse model as highly lucrative, which is why Reddit's stock took an immediate hit the second Forum appeared on the App Store.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. To navigate this supposedly authentic human platform, Meta included an exclusive AI chatbot called Ask to Help Surface Discussions.
Right, the AI guide.
The irony is suffocating. I mean, they are building a platform designed to capture people fleeing AI-generated search results to find real humans, and they are using an AI middleman to police the door. Like, would you trust a Reddit clone built by Meta?
This raises an important question about Silicon Valley's mindset right now. It highlights a core contradiction. They understand that users are desperate for genuine human connection, but they are constitutionally incapable of building a product that doesn't place their proprietary AI at the center of the user experience.
Yeah, they just can't help themselves. And that desire to insert AI into literally everything leads perfectly into our next source. Because this battle isn't just about what apps we use on our phones anymore.
No, the hardware is changing.
Right. The phone itself is becoming a bottleneck. Both Google and Apple are making aggressive plays to bypass the screen entirely and map their AI directly onto our physical reality. Let's talk about the hardware drops.
Okay, the concept we really need to focus on here is ambient computing.
Ambient computing.
Yes. At Google I.O. 2026, they unveiled the Android XR smart glasses. These completely upend our assumptions about wearable tech. We're used to massive, heavy VR headsets, right?
Yeah, giving you a neck ache.
Exactly. The XR glasses were built in partnership with Samsung and Qualcomm, and they weigh just 50 grams.
50 grams? To put that into perspective for everyone, 50 grams is the weight of a standard pair of Ray-Bans, and Google specifically partnered with Warby Parker and Gentle Monster to design the frames.
Right, so they actually look good.
They don't look like tech at all. They look like fashion. Right. But embedded inside is the Gemini AI assistant, which is capable of real-time translation across 40 different languages and augmented reality navigation overlaid directly onto your field of vision.
It's incredible.
And they're slated to launch this fall in the $600 to $900 range.
Yeah, and the demonstration that crystallized the capability of this hardware for everyone was the cafe demo.
Oh, that was wild.
The presenter didn't pull out a phone or tap a screen, they simply looked at a cafe across the street. The glasses utilized Gemini's multimodal vision to identify the specific restaurant, translate the menu hanging in the window, pull in aggregate reviews from the web to suggest the best pastry, place the order via the user's connected phone, and then project visual turn-by-turn navigation arrows onto the sidewalk leading straight to the pickup counter.
Okay, it's like having movie subtitles and a personal concierge mapped onto the real world. The utility of having the world translated and mapped for you hands-free is undeniably appealing.
Definitely.
But wait, let me stop you there, because we have to connect this back to what we just discussed.
Yeah.
We just established that Google's AI is actively devouring the web's economic model and fundamentally misunderstanding basic commands like disregard.
Right.
So do we really want that exact same glitchy infrastructure to constantly analyze every single object, person, and building we look at in the physical world?
You are hitting on the critical friction point of ambient computing. The privacy implications of having an always-on, multimodal AI analyzing your visual field are staggering.
It's a privacy nightmare.
It is.
Yeah.
But Google has learned a hard lesson from the failure of the original Google Glass a decade ago.
Oh, right. The glass holes.
Exactly. That device failed because its defining feature was a creepy, forward-facing camera designed to record other people. The Android XR glasses are pivoting the focus entirely toward personal utility and fashion.
Making it about the user.
Right. And when you evaluate a 50-gram stylish device that translates languages for $700 against Apple's incredibly bulky 600-gram Vision Pro headset that costs $3,500, you can see why the industry is viewing this as the actual catalyst for mainstream ambient tech.
Well, Apple clearly sees this shift happening too, and they are aggressively updating their own ecosystem to compete. Because while Google wants to own your eyes, Apple wants to own your ears.
Yep, audio is the other half of this.
Our sources show a newly published FCC filing document, A3577, dated May 22, detailing a mysterious set of Bluetooth over-ear headphones from Apple.
Based on the product cycle, this is undeniably the AirPods Max 2. I mean, the original model launched in December 2020.
Wow, that long ago.
Yeah, 6 years without a hardware refresh is unprecedented for Apple.
They have to upgrade. The audio hardware landscape has fundamentally changed since then. Companies like Sony and Bose are heavily integrating AI processing into their spatial audio systems.
Exactly.
Apple needs to get their advanced H2 chip into these headphones, switch the charging standard to USB-C to comply with international regulations, and vastly improve the on-device processing power.
Right, because latency is the enemy here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we are moving to a world where AI assistants are constantly whispering contextual information into our ears, the hardware has to process that audio with zero latency.
The broader implication here is that our interaction with the digital world is becoming entirely frictionless. We are stripping away the keyboards and the touch screens.
Just voice and sight.
We are entering an era where our primary interface with technology will be our voice and our vision, mediated constantly by artificial intelligence.
Which honestly brings us to the most disturbing story in our stack today. Because if our voices are going to become our primary digital interface, we are vastly underestimating how vulnerable that interface is.
Absolutely.
On May 21st, the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, took the unprecedented step of temporarily shutting down its public investigation docket system, completely sealing 42 ongoing investigations from the public.
The catalyst for that shutdown is a watershed moment for digital ethics. It stems from the investigation into the tragic crash of UPS Flight 2976 in Louisville.
Right.
Standard NTSB procedure dictates that actual cockpit voice recordings are never released to the public out of respect for the victims and their families.
Which is completely understandable.
However, to maintain investigative transparency, the agency does release spectrograms.
Okay, so a spectrogram is just a picture. It's a two-dimensional graph where the x-axis is time, the y-axis is frequency, and the color intensity shows the amplitude or the volume of the sound.
Right, it's visual.
It's a visual fingerprint of the audio. If you try to reverse engineer that image back into sound using traditional physics, you just get useless, garbled static.
Because a spectrogram is missing a vital component of audio data called phase. Phase dictates the exact microscopic timing of how sound waves align.
Right.
Without phase data, traditional software cannot reconstruct the audio. But over the last year, internet users have gained access to advanced AI neural vocoders.
And this is where it turns into an absolute nightmare. These users downloaded the publicly available spectrogram images of the doomed flight. They fed those pictures into the neural vocoder.
Yeah.
These AI models have been trained on millions of hours of human speech. They don't need the missing phase data. They use deep learning to probabilistically predict what that phase data must have been to produce that specific visual pattern of frequencies.
The technical term is time domain conversion.
Time domain conversion.
Right. The neural network analyzes the megabytes of frequency data encoded in the pixels of the image and mathematically reconstructs the original sound waves.
So what does this all mean? It's like taking a visual fingerprint from a crime scene, and the AI somehow uses it to physically grow a perfect replica of the victim's hand, but in this case, it's their voice.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
They literally brought the voices of those deceased pilots back from a static image. They extracted the final terrified words of dying people from a graph published on a government website. I mean, the technical achievement is astounding, but the reality of it is sickening.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it exposes a massive gaping hole in our legal and regulatory frameworks.
Oh, completely.
Because from a purely legal standpoint, the release of that spectrogram was standard, lawful transparency, the data was public, downloading the image was legal, running it through an open source neural network was legal.
Right.
But the outcome, recreating a deceased person's final moments of life and replicating their voice without consent, unleashing unimaginable trauma on their surviving families, is a profound ethical violation.
It just proves that our laws are based on the limitations of old technology. The NTSB thought a picture of sound was safe because, well, for 50 years it was.
Exactly.
AI changed the physics of what is possible, and the law hasn't caught up.
If an artificial intelligence can perfectly synthesize a specific human voice from a static, two-dimensional image of a frequency graph, the barrier to entry for malicious actors is effectively zero.
It's terrifying.
We are staring down the barrel of untraceable voice-based financial fraud, mass political manipulation through deepfake audio, and the total destabilization of historical records. The tools to execute this exist right now on open internet forums, and the structural guardrails to prevent it are non-existent.
Wow. We have covered an incredible amount of ground today. I mean, we watched Google's AI break the fundamental economic loop of the open web while simultaneously failing to understand the word disregard.
A busy week.
Yeah. We examined Meta's silent guerrilla war to capture authentic human communities by building a Reddit clone policed by an AI bot. We looked at the hardware revolution as Google and Apple prepare to map ambient computing directly onto our eyes and ears.
Right.
And we confronted the terrifying reality of AI resurrecting human voices from public beta graphs.
I think the unifying thread for you, the listener, is that passive consumption of technology is just no longer a viable option.
No, not at all.
Whether you are a business owner watching your search traffic vanish into an AI summary, or just an individual realizing your voice can be cloned from a visual chart, you have to actively develop a critical framework for this new reality. You must interrogate the mechanisms behind the platforms you use.
Absolutely. And I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over today, connecting the two extremes we've discussed.
Okay.
So we established that Google's AI is starving the web of original source material, eating the seed corn of human knowledge to provide direct answers.
Right.
Right? At the exact same time, AI is now powerful enough to perfectly synthesize human audio from a simple picture of a graph. So what happens a year from now when the AI can no longer find original source material to answer a query?
Oh.
What happens when it simply starts generating its own fake primary sources, fake audio recordings, fake historical documents, fake data, just to prove the point it wants to make? If a picture is no longer proof of reality and a human voice can be extracted from a few pixels on a screen, how will you prove to the digital world that you are actually you tomorrow?
That is a chilling thought. We are really entering an environment where digital truth is entirely synthetic. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Stay curious, stay highly skeptical, and keep questioning the mechanisms behind everything you see. We'll catch you on the next one.